A very good evening and good health to our listeners throughout Africa. My name is Chinedu Ofor, coming to you from the Voice of America studios in Washington. Welcome to House Call. Tonight's topic, cancer. Our guest on the live line from Lyon, France, is Dr. Kurt Streiff. He's the acting head, IARC, Monographs International Agency for Research on Cancer, at the World Health Organization. Thank you for joining us this evening, Dr. Streiff.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
The pleasure is ours, sir. Thank you very much. And for our listeners who wish to call in with your questions or comments, ask your international operator to call us collect. Our number here at House Call is area code 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial plus 1-202-619-3111. And for those who want to send us email, our address is housecall@voanews.com. That's housecall@voanews.com. According to medical experts, cancer is the second leading cause of death worldwide after cardiovascular diseases. Cancer is any malignant growth or tumor caused by abnormal and uncontrolled cell division. It may spread to other parts of the body, through the lymphatic system or the bloodstream. Cancer is a broad term used to encompass several malignant diseases. There are over 100 different types of cancer, according to experts, affecting various parts of the body. Each type of cancer is unique with its own causes, symptoms, and methods of treatment. Like with all groups of diseases, some types of cancer are more common than the others. Skin cancer is the most common diagnosed cancer among men and women. Over 1 million cases are diagnosed each year, with more young people having skin cancer than ever before. In the United States, the most common type of cancer is lung cancer, with more than 222,000 new cases expected every year. The cancer with the lowest incidence, they say, is leukemia. Experts say Africa bears a huge burden in the detection and treatment of cancers. Several options have been explored by experts to tackle the menace. For example, with cancer rates in Senegal rising, traditional healers and medical doctors hope to collaborate for better treatment. Amanda Fortier reports from Dakar.
Sering Sambandiai was trained by his father as a traditional healer and herbalist. At his private clinic on the outskirts of Dakar, he treats everything from insomnia to cancer. Ndiaye says he grinds kola nuts into a powder that he uses to treat breast cancer. Ndiaye says more and more of the 40 to 50 patients he sees each day are suffering from cancer, and they are increasingly turning to traditional medicine. A few kilometers away in downtown Dakar, lines of men and women fill the hallways of the Cancer Institute, the only clinic of its kind in West Africa. Some patients are visiting from neighboring Mali, Mauritania, Guinea, and the Gambia. Institute Director Mamadou Diop says cancer in Africa is far different than when he was in medical school. Dr. Diop says at the time they called cancer a disease of the rich, and students were told it was an illness that only existed in Western countries. The World Health Organization estimates that by 2020, more than half of all cancer cases worldwide will be in developing countries, with a million new cases a year in Africa. Dr. Diop says it's clear cancer rates are rising, with the most common forms in this country of 12 million people being cancer of the uterus, liver, blood, prostate, and lymph nodes. He says this is due to several factors, including an aging population, poor diet and lifestyle choices, a high rate of infectious disease, and an increased use of tobacco and alcohol. Eric Boudoussou opened the Malango Center for Traditional Medicine in Fatik, about 150 kilometers southeast of Dakar. He believes the term cancer is not appropriate for Africans. Dr. Boudoussou says they talk of cancer because of their education, which is colonial. Africans believe that all illness is related to the environment. It's not a virus or bacteria that brings on illness, but the surroundings that favor some infections over others. Dr. Boudoussou says in this traditional view, the real cause of cancer is an imbalance in the energy that comes from where and how people live. Nearly half of Senegal's population lives in cities. In Dakar, the rapid rate of construction and the high cost of materials mean that some houses are built using garbage as filler because it's cheap and accessible. The World Health Organization says with these piles of rotting trash and toxic waste come more illness, including tuberculosis, yellow fever, and malaria. Those illnesses weaken immunity and make people more susceptible to developing some forms of cancer. In Senegal, traditional treatments rely largely on locally grown plants such as kenkiliba, tamarind, and jatropha. But Dr. Boudoussou says treating cancer involves more than just herbs.
Mais au niveau de traitement curatif, il y a des plantes.
Dr. Boudoussou says there are important rites and rituals to reestablish the body's equilibrium. There are also techniques and exercises to improve the energy, like deep breathing, organ massage, and what they call causerie, which is a type of group discussion. One of the attractions of traditional medicine is its price. The majority of Senegalese still live on about $2 a day, and Western medicine is expensive. Dr. Diop says only about 1% of the local population can afford pharmaceutical cancer drugs. He says even those who can afford to see doctors are reluctant to admit they also consult traditional healers.
Celui qui vient ici, il ne veut pas parler à son médecin.
Dr. Diop says many of his patients are afraid of being stigmatized. They assume the medical community considers all traditional healers as charlatans. The absence of laws to regulate herbal treatments or evaluate alternative rituals and techniques has made it easier for people to exploit the practice of traditional medicine.
C'est que l'art de guérir avant la colonisation n'avait pas de charlatan. Il n'y avait pas de charlatan en Afrique.
Dr. Boudoussou says the art of healing before colonization did not have charlatans. The art of healing was not a way to make money. Before working as a healer, they were also farmers or animal breeders. That gave them money to live. We say a hungry healer can't be a real healer. So before colonization, there was no reason to exploit each other. We did it for free. As cancer rates continue to climb in Senegal, doctors from both practices realize the importance of combining efforts.
Si on doit faire la recherche, on ne pourra jamais par les moyens.
Dr. Diop says Senegal's medical community can never do the same amount of research as Western countries, so they need to lift certain barriers and prejudices here so people can benefit from the best of both systems. For traditional practitioners, there are still some stereotypes to overcome before they can prove their worth to the greater medical community.
Par conséquent, ce complexe de supériorité où qu'il est mépris de
Dr. Boudoussou says a type of hierarchy exists between the medical and traditional communities, but he's convinced that if the scientific and political communities collaborate with traditional doctors based on mutual respect, everyone will benefit. Amanda Fortier for VOA News, Dakar.
Thank you very much, Amanda. Dr. Streff, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still with you.
Thank you, sir. Did you hear some of the report?
Yes, I heard the full report.
You got any comments on any of it before we get into the discussion?
Well, perhaps I'll wait for the questions, and then I can also comment on some of the statements made.
Okay, much appreciated. Now, for developing countries, part of the report says it's growing about 1 million a year. What could be responsible for this? Is it because of late diagnosis, or now people are just suddenly realizing that this is a big problem?
Well, I think the problem of late diagnosis already existed, particularly in parts of Africa, because of the access to healthcare is more difficult, etc. And, of course, if you look into that earlier, that is early diagnosis or screening, then, first of all, you will detect more cancers. So that would result in some increase in the cancer rates and the numbers of cancers. But I think the main reason really is the aging of the population. So most of the predictions at the moment really are simply based on the fact that the populations are aging, and cancer is principally a disease of older age. That is, in other words, age is a major risk factor for cancer, and that contributes to the major increase. On top of that, there can also be, of course, other environmental, occupational factors that contribute, and with the more more developing countries, occupational exposures, environmental exposures, they can be also factors that contribute to an increase. But most of the numbers cited so far really just are based on the predictions taking into account the aging of the distribution. Population.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Streff, quickly, I didn't tell our listeners that you are also an oncologist, so you are an expert on this issue. Real quick, for those who probably maybe in some remote parts of Africa or villages that the term cancer might not quickly strike a bell, what can one see physically that would alert you or anyone else that, you know, you better have this checked out? What are some of the signs and symptoms of this disease?
Well, that is a very difficult question because, as we have heard in the report, cancer is not one disease. Cancer is a large variety of very different diseases, and so the early symptoms really depend on the type of cancer. Let's take lung cancer, for example, which is one of the most common cancer types. It can be very unspecific. It can be a cough that doesn't go away. It can be a respiratory infection. It can be general weakness. It can be weight loss. It can be difficulties to breathe. Whereas, say, for leukemia, the factors could be very difficult, these early signs. It could be bleeding that is not easily explained. It can be higher susceptibility to infectious diseases, etc. So if there is any kind of abnormal sign that cannot be easily explained with other diseases, and particularly that doesn't go away, that increases, that should always be a worry to consult your doctor and have a checkup.
All right, quickly, let's go to the phones and speak to our callers. First, let's go to Nigeria, to Mr. Hillary. Hillary, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, welcome to House Call. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm very fine, thank you.
Thanks for calling in. We're discussing cancer. Go ahead, Dr. Streff is listening, and he would take your questions or add a comment. Go ahead.
Okay, What are the symptoms for breast cancer?
Okay, any particular cancer? Because cancer, there are various forms of cancer. Which one are you asking about?
Breast cancer.
Okay, breast cancer. Thank you very much, Dr. Streff.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it follows up essentially on your initial question regarding early symptoms of cancer, and I came up with the example of lung cancer and leukemia. Now let's continue for breast cancer. Generally, a cancer is a tumor that is some swelling of a tissue. So it can result in an increase in the breast. It can be some hard structure in the breast. It can be some atypical configuration of the nip. But it can also be a more distant site, so it's not necessarily confined to the breast. It can be lymph nodes under the arm. It can also even be more distant. In the extreme, it can be a broken leg that wasn't the result of an accident that can, as an underlying cause, have a breast cancer.
I see. Okay, doctor, let's stay on the phones and again take a call from Nigeria to Mr. Itoro. Hello, Itoro, welcome to House Call. How are you doing? Hello, Mr. Itoro, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, we're discussing cancer with Dr. Streff. Go ahead. Your question or comment?
I have a question.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, please, is it any available simple drug, as in naturally, that can be used to cure cancer?
Okay, any available simple natural drug that can be used to cure cancer, correct?
It's available.
All right, thank you very much, Dr. Streff.
Well, again, it depends very much on the type of the cancer, and for cancer, generally, there's three different principles for treatment. One is surgery, one is radiotherapy, and one is chemotherapy. And it very much depends on the type of the cancer, the stage of the cancer, which type of treatment or combination of the three types of treatments are employed. In some instances, there may be some drugs that were first seen in kind of as a natural drug that have developed into drugs that can be used. In general, I think we have to rely on studies to show the effectiveness of some of these treatments. And I think it's most dangerous if you yourself would take any drugs that have not been approved for treatment, because there is also the danger out there that other people want to make money out of your problems.
Okay, doctor, is it possible, for instance, in a routine physical, for instance, to screen for cancer, bearing in mind that some of our callers are those who live outside the United States, France, or the so-called developed nations? Screening and general physical is an expensive venture.
Yes. First, I'd like to make the distinction. The earlier questions referred to early symptoms. So this is when there is already a clinical disease, mm-hmm. and this we would not call screening. Screening is an effort to investigate in large populations that are apparently healthy if there's early cancer in these people. And there are a few cancer sites where screening has been established to be effective. This includes, for example, screening for breast cancer with mammography, or perhaps there is also a role for self-examination of the breast. Then there is particularly important for women and in developing countries, screening for cervical cancer, and there are various methods to screen for cervical cancer. There is methods to screen for colorectal cancer, the cancer of the colon, and these have been shown to be effective. That means when you undergo these screening exams, and then on average for the examined screened population, the outcome is better than if they would not have undergone screening.
I see. Doctor, if I could crave your indulgence and ask you to take two questions at once. Some of our callers are just holding on. So two people would ask questions, so you can write it down and
sure.
Give them answers. First, let's go to Mr. Buba in Nigeria. Mr. Buba, welcome to House Call. We're discussing cancer. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, good evening, sir.
Evening, Mr. Buba. Go ahead.
Yeah, my own question is what is the difference between the signs and symptoms of ulcer and cancer?
Okay, signs and symptoms, difference between cancer.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hello?
Yes.
It's been Buba Umarinaga from Kaduna, Nigeria.
Okay, Buba from Kaduna, Nigeria. You want to know the difference between cancer and ulcer. Okay, the doctor, just stay tuned. The doctor will give you an answer. From Kaduna, let's go to, I think, Arochukwu. Arochukwu to Mazi Patrick. Mazi Patrick, welcome to House Call.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Chinedu. Good evening, Doctor.
Yes, evening to you. Us. Go ahead.
Yes, Doctor, can food, like, can flour food, like meat pie, do not both cause cancer? Because there is a thought here that all these food causes, the flour food causes prostate cancer. I don't know how truthful is that statement. And secondly, and lastly, is cancer hereditary?
Okay. Thank you very much, Mazi Patrick. Stay tuned for the response from the doctor. Doctor, any of the questions you are unable to pick up, I could rephrase them if you want.
Yeah, I was just not sure when you asked for flour food.
Yeah, what he meant was processed food. For instance, pies that are made with flowers.
Okay.
And, if it, that if and like any of that processed food, whether that causes cancer. And he also wants to know if it's hereditary
right.
as part of cancer. The second one, of course, is the signs and symptoms, the difference between ulcer and cancer.
Yeah, and I assume between ulcer and cancer of the stomach.
Yes.
And for the cancer of the stomach, again, the symptoms, the early symptoms are not very specific. It can start with digestive problems, that you kind of bring up air, that you have, even in some cases, bleeding in the stool can be due to stomach cancer. And on the other hand, ulcer is that kind of dyspeptic feeling and having problems, particularly, well, it depends if it's ulcer of the stomach or ulcer of the duodenum, then the symptoms of feeling difficulties can be either before or after you have eaten. But again, just from the symptoms, if you take these kind of main symptoms, it's difficult to distinguish. But again, the stomach cancer can also have distant effects that are not just due to the issues in the stomach. It can also be weight loss. It can be weakness. It can be other unspecific symptoms. So if there is any continued problem, again, I think the only way is to see your doctor and have it checked up what the underlying cause is.
Okay.
And in this case, it would be a gastroscopy that would immediately show what's going on. In terms of the second caller, well, let me start with the second question first about the inheritance of cancer.
Mm.
Generally speaking, I would say any cancer is an combined effect of some genes and some environmental exposures. In some instances, the effect may be stronger on the genetic effect. We know genetic risk factors, for example, for breast cancer, some genetic factors that are inherited and that can account for, say, up to 5 or 10% of the breast cancers. On the other hand, even among those that are kind of predisposed through their genes, it's not that they all come down with cancer. It's also the environment that plays a role. So again, it's an interaction between your genetic makeup and your environmental exposures over your lifetime that in the end may or may not result in cancer. In terms of nutritional factors in general, mm-hmm. as part of the environmental factors, I think it is important to make distinctions. First of all, and unfortunately this is also becoming a problem in Africa, but it is a big problem already in developed countries, the first issue is already on how much you eat. If you eat too much, if it results in obesity, in weight gain, this is a risk factor for several types of cancer. Then there is the type of the composition of the food. If you eat too much red meat, fatty food, etc., this can also be a risk factor for certain types of cancer. And finally, it may be that there are contaminants in the food that may be, and that's most important in Africa, aflatoxins that can result in liver cancer, but that may also be chemicals from the processing of the food, from preparing the food over fire, that results in some chemicals that have been linked to an increased risk of cancer in other populations.
I see. And doctor, what lifestyle changes, for instance, will you recommend? You talked about reducing the intake of red meat. And what about activity? What of physical activity? There is a school of thought out there that the more active you are, the less susceptible you are to cancer. Others doubt that. What does the WHO say about it?
Well, in terms of what you can do to reduce your risk of cancer, in terms of your personal lifestyle, first of all, don't start smoking. And if you smoke, stop today. That is probably the single most important cause for many types of different cancers and also for other diseases like cardiovascular diseases, etc. In addition to that, is try to control your weight and be physically active. So it has been shown, and there is clear evidence, that regular physical activity, again, reduces the risk of certain types of cancer.
I see. And in Africa, for instance, where when you say physical activity, there are those who, for instance, who walk to the farm or go to the stream, and they engage in not just physical activity for fun, as we do over here, but as part of their daily lifestyle. Does this count as part of physical activity?
Yes, that also counts. It's really in the more developed countries, this sedentary lifestyle where you sit in your office most of the day, then take the car or the public transport back home, then sit at home, watch TV. It is important that you engage in regular physical activity, but this can be part of your way to work, part of your job activities, but also part of your leisure time.
And Doctor, earlier you said cancer is more of an old person's disease, but emerging studies suggest that more young people are getting cancers now. Any reason? Can you suggest any reason why that is?
Well, the first statement was a general statement, but of course there are always exceptions, and we also know of childhood cancers, for example, leukemias or brain cancers in children, and a few risk factors have been studied, and it seems that also the some type of parental smoking, if your parents smoke, may result in some very rare cancers in the children. There is some evidence, but not fully established yet, that it can cause leukemia in the children. There is all types of environmental exposures, pesticides, for example, and research is still going on to clarify their role and their contribution to human cancer risks. In general, the earlier and the heavier some kind of environmental occupational exposures are, the earlier the cancer may show up. So if there's an increasing number of cancers in earlier life, that may also hint to some occupational environmental risk factors in general.
And we're quickly running out of time, Doctor, so just our last question. What about certain kinds of food? There are those who swear that vegetarian diet is what it takes, or minimally cooked food is what it takes to stay healthy. In about 1 minute, can you just address that?
Yes, there is clearly advantage of eating lots of fruits and vegetables and reducing your intake in meat. Also eat fibers is also healthy. And again, I think we are not only concerned about cancer, we're also concerned about other diseases, cardiovascular diseases, etc. And therefore, that general healthy eating, eating less and eating fruits, vegetables, and fibers, and less meat, and eat fish, this is generally a good recommendation to stay healthy.
I see. And, well, Doctor, we do sincerely appreciate your coming here. And just one last word. If cancer is detected early, it's treatable. The chances are good, correct?
That is correct for those cancers where we recommend screening. Otherwise, screening would make no sense. It would just increase the harm in the person where cancer is detected.
All right. Thank you very much, Doctor. That's all the time we have for this edition of House Call. Our guest on the live line from Lyon, France, has been Dr. Kurt Streiff. He's the acting head, IARC, Monographs International Agency for Research on Cancer at the WHO. He's also an oncologist. Thank you very much, Doctor, for talking with us today. And Dr. Streiff has left us, and we thank him. And, of course, we also thank our listeners and, of course, our family of affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying House Call. This is Chinedu Ofo in the Washington studios of the Voice of America, asking you to stay healthy, and we will see you next week. Bye for now.